Isn't it great to be able to celebrate by having people follow the Lord in baptism and then joining the church?
Woo-hoo! Yes.
Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to continue our study there, and so I'm going to start off with asking you a couple questions. First of all, what would you prefer? What would you prefer? Now, these are some tough questions here. Would you prefer your dream house? Or would you prefer your dream job? Now, that's a tough question. Well, for some people it is. Probably for most of you, though, you know the answer, don't you? And we know it is. All women, what do they want? The dream house. What do the men want? The men want the dream job, right? So that's not such a hard question, I don't think, for most people. Maybe for some people, it is. The dream house or the dream job. But most of you here are married. So as a couple, you can only choose one of these. So which one are you going to choose? Oh, the husband wants the dream job, and the wife wants the dream home. Which one are you going to choose? I know it all. I didn't hear that. What did you say?
What the wife wants.
What the wife wants. Wait. That's a good answer. Good answer. Well, I know a lot of the other husbands aren't thinking that way. They're thinking, hey, honey, if I get my dream job, then we'll be able to afford your dream house, right? Well, for this exercise, we're going to just say you either have one or the other, you can't have both. Now, it's going to be a tough decision. What do we do? Well, in the story that we're going to look at today, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul has two options in front of him. Both of the options, Paul considered, wow, these are very good, and he has a tough time making the decision. Now, where was Paul when he wrote the book of Philippians? Very good, you remember. He was in prison. He was awaiting trial. And Caesar could sentence him to death. Or Caesar could say, hey, you're free. So what are Paul's two options? One, he can either
die.
He can live, or he can
die.
Those are the two options that Paul has. Live or die. Both are equally great options, aren't they? Maybe you're thinking, how can those be equally great options? I think that the answer is pretty obvious. Well, not for Paul. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we looked at how Paul looked at his trial. He looked at things differently. He had a different perspective. And he sees these two things as great options. We're going to look at Paul's dilemma this morning and this decision, his choice, and what that means to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the example of Paul and your word, and we just ask that you would help us to learn from him, take your word, and apply it to our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's dilemma. We're going to be looking at verses 21 to 26 this morning, but we're going to jump right into the middle of verse 22 to start. He says here, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. What are the two?
Live
or die. So I don't know which to choose. Which one? I mean, I can live or I can die. They're both great options. Now, probably a lot of us are not thinking the same way Paul did, but why? Why would Paul think that way? Well, we're going to look at Paul's reasons. Starting in verse 21, first he Next, he gives a reason why he would choose to die. Then he goes back to the other side, but if I choose life, this is what will happen. And then he goes back over here. So what should I choose? That's what we're going to be looking at. First, we're going to start in verse 21. It says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So on the one hand, for to me, to live is Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean for to me to live is Christ? Philippians 1:20, we read this a couple weeks ago. It says, "As my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." What's Paul's purpose in life? Glorify God with his life. Whether by life or by death. So he can do that in either case of living or dying. He can glorify God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Here again, we see Paul's aim, his goal in life is to please God. And if he chooses life, he can choose a life that glorifies God. He can live his life for God. So what does it mean to live for Christ? Paul wanted to completely glorify God so that others would see Christ in his life. When people look at Paul, you see Christ. When people were looked the way he lived, you just read the stories in Acts, you read his epistles, and you can see Christ coming through his life. That was his ultimate goal, is to please the Lord, to glorify him, so that when people saw Paul, they saw Christ. So if he dies, he's not going to be able to do that anymore. So his first reason is, I can want to live, because for me to live is Christ. People will see Christ in me. Question, can you say that? For to me to live is Christ. Is Christ the most important thing in your life? What would we put in this space instead of Christ? Would we put Christ or would we put something else? Some people put money, material things. It could be a house or your dream house. It can be money, it can be cars, it can be whatever it is, but we put different things instead of Christ as the most important. Maybe it's your dream job is the most important. Now, if you go home today and you're talking about that example and which one would you choose, and you could start a fight in your home this afternoon over lunch over that issue. If that's the case, then those things are more important than Christ. So it can be a job, it can be importance, it can be whatever, it can be pleasure. Whether it's going on vacations like this to the beach, or whether it's just watching TV, watching your favorite TV shows, playing video games, all of these things we can sometimes put in the place of Christ. Maybe it's even family. We don't think of that as bad, do we? No, but family, can family take the place of Christ? Become more important? Unfortunately, yes. What would you put in this spot, in this space? Probably there's a lot of you here to say, Christ is the most important in my life. And I would like to say that same thing for myself, but you know what? There are times when Christ is not the most important in my life. Every one of us, if we're honest, would say that there's times that some of these other things are more important to me than Christ. And you're thinking, no, that's not me. When was the last time you sinned? Every time we sin, we're putting something else in the place of Christ in our life. What would you put in here? We should analyze ourselves. What is it that I put in the place of Christ? We need to recognize that so that we can repent and start living for Christ. Next, on the one hand, for to me to live is Christ, but on the other hand, to die is gain. So on this side we have to live is Christ. Over here to die is
gain.
To die is gain. Now, Normally, we don't look as death, at death as pain, do we? We've had a lot of death in our church in the past month. In the church, we're going to be having 3 funerals within a month. Outside of the church, many of you have lost friends and loved ones this month. It's painful death for those that stay. But for those that die, death is glorious. Death, as it says here, death is gain. We have gain through death. Well, what is this gain? Is there going to be any pain in heaven? No. No pain, no sicknesses, no sorrow. I'm starting to get old, and I'm starting to have problems with my body. I mean, Pastor Dan and I both, we saw some crutches just from playing soccer with these guys. On Mother's Day, I was up here interviewing the kids. I don't know if you all know this or not, but I kneeled right here and hurt my knee really bad. For a couple of months after, just kneeling, I kneeled like this, right on the corner here. Oh! And for a couple of months afterwards, whenever I would get hit in the knee, it was excruciating pain for like 15 seconds. I have a doctor's appointment in a couple weeks for that. But our bodies are getting old. I can't see as well as I used to be able to see. Our bodies are getting old, but in heaven, we're not going to have that problem anymore. There's going to be no more pain in heaven. No more sin in heaven.
Amen.
How many of you struggle with a particular sin? Well, good, a couple, not good. A couple of you at least are honest. We struggle with sin. You know what? Those sins that we struggle with, we're not going to struggle with them anymore in heaven. Not only will we not struggle, but we're not going to have to put up with other sinners. Oh, amen. That's right. Heaven is gain. Now he goes back to the other side again. He says, if I am to live in the flesh, make more missions trips. He's going to be able to plant more churches. He's going to be able to preach the gospel to more people. People are going to get saved. People are going to be more like Christ. And it's fruitful labor for him, and the result is joy in his ministry. So Paul's in this dilemma of, first of all, if I live, I can represent Christ. I can live for him. But dying is gain. But I can have fruitful labor if I live. And now, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. For that is far better. Of the two options, what does Paul desire? Life or death? Death. Why? That is far better. That's what he desires. My desire is to depart. Why? Why does he desire to depart? To be with Christ. We just talked about all of the benefits of heaven, but we left out the most important. To be with Christ. Yes, we're going to get rid of pain. We're not going to have any more pain. Yes, there's going to be no more sin. Yes, we're going to have a place that God prepares for us. There's streets of gold. There's all that stuff. But the most important thing is we're going to be with Christ for eternity. And Paul looked at that and says, look, if I die, I can be with him for eternity. That is far better. Is that the way we look at life and death? 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says the same thing. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The day that death comes will be far better than anything on earth, because we will be with Christ. So that's Paul's dilemma. Now we're going to look at his options. Now, looking at this dilemma right here in these first couple verses, it looks like he has a preference, doesn't he? Dying is his preference. But we're going to go through it again. What are his options? Live or die. Why? Why did he choose to live? Was the first reason? For to be to live is Christ. The reason to die? Die is gain. Over here. There you go. What's another reason to live? Fruitful labor. But to die, being with Christ, which is much better. There's a couple other reasons that we've already touched on. Joy in suffering for Christ. He's going to have joy by suffering for Christ as he lives. But in heaven, no more suffering at all. On earth, by living, bringing sinners to Christ. But dying, no more sin. The exalting Jesus in Philippians commentary paints the picture this way. The guards come up to Paul and they say, hey, Paul, we don't like you when you're Messiah. We're going to kill you. What does Paul say? Hey, that'd be great. Dying is gain. Bring it on. So the guards step back and go, that didn't work. On second thought, we're going to allow you to live. So Paul requests, fantastic, living means fruitful, joyous labor. Well, we're going to let you live, but we're going to make you suffer. Hey guys, I consider the suffering of this present world not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. It would fill me with joy to suffer for that name. Can you see how Paul's perspective is life-changing? We can go through anything as we're looking to Christ and have joy and live for his glory. So he's gone back and forth on this. What does Paul choose? What is Paul's choice in this decision? Is he going to choose death? Or is he going to choose life? Let's look at the next verse. Says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. To remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. What does Paul prefer?
Death.
But what does he choose?
Life.
Why? Because it's more necessary for them. Paul is more focused on the needs of others than his own desires. Are we like that? Do we focus on what other people need and want, or do we focus on ourselves? Paul was following Jesus' example. Jesus, who humbly came, gave up everything in heaven to come as a servant and to die for us. And Paul's just following Jesus' example. Becoming like Christ and coming, not getting what he wants and just dying, but living and suffering for other people. So why was it more necessary? But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Why is it more necessary? He explains it in the next two verses. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. The first reason why Paul chooses to stay is because of their progress or growth in the faith. And if Paul stays, he can help the Philippians, not just the Philippians, but everybody he comes in contact with, to live to be more like Christ, to progress in their faith, to grow to be more like Christ. I want you to think of somebody in your life who has helped you to grow to be more like Christ. And we don't have time to share testimonies, which would be great, but I'm sure that you have people in your life that have helped you to grow to be more like Christ. Where would you be without those people coming? Maybe it's just even somebody sharing the gospel with you. Where would you be if that person didn't share the gospel with you right now? Where would you be? Paul recognized their progress, their growth in the faith was a reason that he wanted to stay, so that he could help them to grow to be more like Christ. The second reason is their joy in the faith. Their growth produces joy. Are you joyful? Now, remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago. The joy doesn't come from our circumstances. The joy is from the Lord. Paul was able to rejoice being in prison. He wasn't rejoicing because he was in prison, but he rejoiced because of what God was doing in prison. Have you ever known Christians who are always complaining? They're never happy. They're always grumbling and upset about something. You ever know anybody like that? Do you think that those people are wrong to be more like Christ? True growth produces joy. If you're not joyful, are you really growing to be more like Christ? And once again, we're not talking about joy of our circumstances, but joy in the Lord. As we grow to be more and more like Christ, our joy should increase exponentially because of what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus has a purpose for this, and we can be joyful in any situation. And Paul was there to help them progress in their faith so that their joy in the faith could grow as well. The third reason is found in verse 26. So that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So the next reason is so that they will glorify Christ. The Philippians loved Paul, didn't they? How do we know that? Because we know that in Philippians, Paul tells them, you have sent offerings to me once again, many times. You've taken up offerings for me. They sent Epaphroditus to go take the offering to Paul on this occasion. You know how far Philippi is from Rome? 700 to 1200 miles, depending on your route. How long do you think it would take to go that far? Well, let's say 700 miles. Well, try that today, right? Well, the buses back then didn't go so fast. And they didn't have airplanes yet. probably over a month for them, him to make that trip to Rome, and then another month or more to go back. They gave up their heavy sacrifice. They loved Paul. Paul had spent time with them. Many of them were one to the Lord because of Paul, and Paul loved them. So if they see Paul again, and Paul shows up to them, what are they going to do? They're going to, oh, Paul's here! And they're going to be excited and rejoice and praise the Lord because Paul is there. Kind of like what Paul did when he would think of them. What did Paul do? Every time I think of you, I pray with joy and thank God for the Philippians. And Paul coming to see them, they're going to rejoice and praise the Lord as well. Not only that, but in verse 19, it talks about how that I know that this is going to turn out through my salvation, through your prayers. They know that if Paul comes, that means that God has answered their prayer. And another reason to praise God. Hey, God, thank you so much for answering our prayer. But as Paul is there, Paul's going to help them to grow. He's going to help them, their joy to increase. He's going to be an encouragement to them. And they're going to be able to glorify Christ in that as well. What was Paul's goal in life once again? What was his goal? Live to glorify Christ. Philippians 1:20 again says, this is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. That was his goal. But you know what? He didn't just want that for himself. He wanted other people to have that goal too. And as he's working with people, discipling them, sharing the gospel, as they grow and have that desire too, they're glorifying God with their lives as well. So what's Paul's choice? Let Christ be glorified in his body. That's his choice. Sacrifice his own desires to please God. He's not worried about himself. What does God want? What does God need to do? What do the people need? It doesn't matter about me and my desires. How can I sacrifice my desires to please God? Live to serve others so that they can grow, rejoice, and glorify God. So what does this all mean to me? First of all, if you were to die today, are you sure that you go be with Jesus? Are you sure? Paul, you think he had any doubts? He was ready to die right now to go see Jesus. Are you sure that you go? Bible teaches us how we can know for sure. It doesn't depend on what we do. It doesn't depend on going to church. It doesn't depend on obeying the commandments. It doesn't depend on doing good things and obeying the golden rule. It's what Jesus did for us. We need to recognize that we are sinful, wicked people. You might be thinking, well, I'm not that bad. Well, have you ever told a lie? What are you? If you told a lie, what are you? Liar. You know what the Bible says about liars? All liars have their part in the fire. That's all we deserve, is to die a good die. Believe the Bible. That's all we deserve. But God loved us so much that he sent a substitute to die in our place. That substitute was the Son of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that we can have forgiveness of sins. Not because we're so special, because we're nothing. We're just wicked sinners. But Jesus loved us so much that he came down to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And the only thing that we must do is recognize that we are wicked, recognize there's nothing that we can do, and to put our trust in what he did for us. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, that is how you can know for sure. Please do not leave today without talking to someone. Come talk to me. We'd love to show you what God's Word says about this, if they answer any more questions that you might have. But it's by recognizing that I'm a sinner, there's nothing I can do, and to trust in what Jesus did for me on the cross. If you do that, you can have the assurance that when you die, you're going to be with Christ for eternity. Yeah. to that, or there's something else that sometimes takes the place of Christ. Paul said to live means fruitful labor. Do you have fruitful labor that you're producing? Are you growing to be more like Christ? Are you helping others to grow to be more like Christ? First of all, if you're growing to be more like Christ, how are you growing? If we're growing, we should be able to identify, yeah, God's working on me in this area of my life. How is God helping you to grow to be more like Him? How are we helping others to grow to be more like Him? That's what Paul's desire was, to help others to grow. Do you have joy? We should have, because of what Jesus did for us. Are you living to serve others? Or are you living to serve yourself? A few action steps that I would like to give today. First of all, let's meditate on Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's an easy one to memorize. Let's meditate on it. Think about that. For me, to live, is it really Christ? Or is there something else in my life that sometimes takes place? What in your life is more important than Christ at times? We should think about it. Some of you probably cannot already identify it right now. I struggle with this area. Others might be thinking, I don't really know. Start thinking about it. Look at your emotions. What makes you angry? What gives you joy? What makes you sad? And those can be indicators of things that can be more important to us than Christ. So meditate on Philippians 1:21 and meditate on what is in life is more important. And once we recognize that, we need to repent and ask God for help to change. We've got a counseling ministry here. That's what we do. We help people to change in these areas because we all have issues. We all struggle with sin. And sometimes we need help. We all need help. Feel free to come talk to me. I'd be glad to sit down with you and help you through these situations, through these issues that become more important than Christ. And you know what? I've got them too. We all have these issues. And we all need to repent and ask God for help to change. Next is commit to joining a small group or Bible, small group or Bible study. I mentioned this a few weeks ago as well. We're getting ready to start small group stuff again in August. Some of them are still going. Also, Bible study. I mentioned earlier the Every Man a Warrior. Men, come join that. In that you can help others to grow to be more like Christ. And others will help you to grow more like Christ. We work together and are helping each other to grow in those groups. Sometimes we share some trials that we're going through and we give encouragement and pray for one another. We help each other to glorify Christ. I challenge you, join a small group. Join a Bible study so you can experience that. If you're not part of a small group or a smart part of a Bible study like that, you're missing some of the best part of this church. What fruitful labor can you do? Some of you, there's quite a few of you that are already serving, and I praise God and thank you for your fruitful labor here in the ministry. But we have other needs. And we have people that aren't doing much of anything in the area of service. We just heard this morning that there's a need for valet parking, for greeting. There's lots of other needs that they didn't mention. They wanted to focus that for frontline. But there's other needs for frontline. There's other needs in, like we talked a couple weeks ago, for children's ministry. There's the Sunday morning. But there's also Awana. We need help with those different ministries. And you produce fruitful labor by getting involved in those ministries. What are you going to do to produce fruitful labor? We talked about the gospel last week and sharing the gospel. Were you able to make any contacts this week? That is fruitful labor. We've talked about the counseling ministry. We need more counselors. Speaking of that, I've got to put a plug in because this week the prices go up by $20. And so if you have any questions about that, please talk to me. But we need more counselors. There's lots of different ministries and areas where we need more people to help to serve. What is your labor going to be? What is your fruitful labor can you do? Then do it. Once you have picked out something and say, this is what I can do, this is how I can serve, go sign up. Talk to the person that's in charge of that area and say, I want to serve. And start serving. When we do this, we're living like Paul. We're letting Christ live through us. For to me to live is Christ. We're producing fruitful labor. And we're glorifying Christ with our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us, each of us, to live for your glory in everything we do. We thank you so much for sending Jesus down to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And we don't deserve it, Lord, but you loved us so much that you were willing to do that. And I just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know for sure that they're going to heaven, please don't allow them to leave without talking to somebody so that they can know for sure that they're going to heaven. And please help the rest of us that know for sure, help us to live for your glory. Help us to be able to say, for to me to live is Christ. And help us to produce fruitful labor. We just thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you.